Now, according to the teaching of Vatican II, that was Jesus who just told this parable to us, right here. Now, it's obviously very allegorical. What stands for what? The basic idea is certainly that the Master expects people to, as he says here himself, you know, the Master expects a return. But how do we move from there? What would we say today, here, as we heard this? What's the Lord saying? Very interesting. First, we have to notice we're not going to get a complete explanation for several reasons. The thing is too abundant, for one, and time is another. Why would Jesus tell this parable? What does he expect the church to get out of it? Generation after generation after generation. There's a point here. Got something to do with zeal, I think we're willing to say that, and also willing to risk. The other fellow wasn't willing to risk. Now, if you read the Magnificat this morning, or if you do, you'll notice that Pope Benedict says, the talent is the truth. Here, one thing that's important, you see, it's his possessions. Whatever the Lord gives, it's his. Now, talent throws us off, the word talent, because nowadays it means I can sing, or I can dance, or I can... And that's fine, you know, things entrusted to us. Talentum just means a sum of money. Actually, probably... Oh, what can you say? 6,000 days' wages would be about one talent. Not for the CEOs of companies, but I mean for the average fella. So it's a lot of money. When Luke has his parable, he tells it differently. Everybody gets just one. But it belongs to the Lord. And then he went away. Now, the one who had received five went and traded with them. Now, what does that mean? Remember, we're in an allegory. This stands for that kind of thing. He traded with them. Well, what does that mean? I think it means, as we're going to pursue this today, which, as I say, is not going to exhaust him, he got out and took a risk and spoke the truth. He knew that that would gain greater truth for the world. So he got out there and he said something. He risked. And the Master, whose truth it is, made it prosper. Remember, when he comes back and he says, yeah, you'll have a lot of responsibility now, but then he says, enter your Master's joy. That's the reward. That's the reward. Now, there are other ways of looking at part of this, but we're, you know, as I say, when it's an allegory like this, it's an open season. You know, everybody can try to figure out something. But what's in the text is that these talents belong to the Lord, to the Master, and that the one who is rewarded is the one who goes out and trades with them. And that involves a risk. Now, certainly, if you look today at the world, the greatest problem is the lack of truth. It's the greatest problem, my friends. And we have not risked. There are ways of discussing that, political correctness, there's pressure on you. If you really, if you say homosexuality is wrong, or even premarital sex is wrong, you know, or if you even say, horror of horrors, that there is a truth, and that by the mercy of God, He's given it to us by revelation. We who believe in Jesus Christ. And we want to share it to the whole world. What kind of arrogance is this? You remember when Dominus Jesus came out some years ago? There was this document came out because Cardinal Ratzinger and the Pope were very concerned that in all the interreligious dialogue, the uniqueness and the beauty and the superiority of the talents that Jesus had entrusted to his church were being squandered. Oh, you can believe anything you want. Just mean well and try hard. And we can't live like that, my friends. We can't live just on meaning well. It won't last. There must be a beauty, a truth, a power, something that's real and stable to which we can give our lives and risk our lives. We can't live like that. I think the call is for every one of us today to speak the truth. Now that also means to know the truth. That means taking time to think, reflect, study, talk, be clear in your mind. Because you see, if you're not clear in your mind, you'll be insecure when you speak. And if you get crossed, you'll get angry. It's not going to help. Right? If I were to say to Helen, "You're not Helen. You know, your name is not Helen." She might laugh. She might smile. But she's not going to get nervous, right? I mean, she knows who she is. But if I were to challenge somebody and say, "Understand what's really going on. Do you know how many people, you know, are made by God this way? They're supposed to be homosexuals. This is the way God made them. For 2 millennia, the church has persecuted these people." How would you answer? Would you get angry? Would you get nervous? You're not allowed. That's a luxury you can't have. You've got to be clear. How do you get clear? You get a vision of who a man is, who a woman is. And you get this by prayer, by study, and by revelation. And then you can say, "No, just look." And you can start to talk. First place, and you should know these things, there is no evidence whatsoever that anyone is congenitally homosexual. There's no evidence whatsoever that people are wired to be homosexual. There's none. That there could be proclivity for like alcoholism or for, of course. That it can happen because someone never is brought up well. And they can't, they have no identity with the father if he's a man, or the mother. And they're confused. Yes, of course. But that God made men, women, and gays is just wrong. He didn't. You don't have to get mad about that. You know, you start a discussion, the anger out there. The anger. But we owe it to the world to have our minds straight about these things. Think, I'm not going to go on with all the errors, we'll miss supper. But, but just think of all the people who could be healed of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and if you would not stand in the way of having these embryonic cell research blocked. Well, hey fellas, look. Up to this point, there has not been one healing through the use of embryonic stem cells. Not one. And yet, with adult stem cells, there have been many, many, many healings and more to come. The simple fact is, the private industry invests all its money in that research because it's working. And those who are doing the other have to keep insisting that the government pay for it because it's not working. That's just a fact. Now, what's going on there? There's a lot going on there, my friends. And I'm, you know, and those of us who are here this morning, ready to receive the body and blood of Christ, we have to see this with compassion, but with clarity. How can this get so confused? To say nothing of the fact that these are human embryos which are being destroyed. Now we have this. On the one hand, you know, we say, oh, every human being has the right to whatever, and how terrible you are if every human being can't go to Harvard or whatever. On the other hand, anybody not quite like us can be used for experimentation. Not only embryonic research, but, I don't know in this country, but all around, prisoners, people who are sick, they can be experimented on. Why? Because they're not quite up to our standard. Now, where in the whole liberal agenda can that principle possibly exist? Well, I'm not even allowed to say that the truth is better than falsehood. So how can I possibly say I'm better than somebody else? Nobody should experiment on me, but on these prisoners and on these idiots, these mentally retarded, why not? And of course on these embryos. When do we speak up? And when are we clear enough in our minds? When do we pray for revelation so that we understand this in a deep and compassionate way? And the reason for speaking is not to win an argument. It's to spread truth for the liberation of the human race. And so, yeah, I knew it was true, but I was a little bit afraid to speak, so I buried it. Look out. Hear what happened to that guy. Now, our Lord did not say, blessed are the obnoxious. He said, blessed are the persecuted. So there has to be a way to present this with love, but with clarity and firmness. I'm not going to back down. I know this is true. How can I know this is true? Unless I apply my mind, I get my mind off that television and all that stuff, which is just corrupting it, and apply my mind. And I talk to people who can clarify my mind, and I pray so that the Lord anoints this knowledge and it's clear and firm and it's got nothing to do with anger or my righteousness or my brains, but with the truth that God wills for every human being in this world because He loves them. So what drives us then? Love. Well, how can I get that kind of love? Know how much Jesus loves you. And out of that, go out and trade.